So we're continuing with the gift of liberation thrust into the palm of your hands and written by the teacher of the teacher of the current Dalai Lama. And we've been discussing, we started off on a discussion of what to look for when you're looking for a teacher, spiritual teacher. And we said that finding a teacher is the most important practice that a Buddhist can do. So I grew up in the Christian tradition. My church is not far from here. I went last week. And we had wonderful priests. And but it's, what do you call it? The priest is actually not encouraged to be a personal teacher to the congregation. They're supposed to keep a little distance. And they can serve, they can help the sick. But they're not meant to do ongoing private spiritual teaching or guidance of a person in a progressive way. It's not part of what they did in my church. And in Buddhism, it's different. We are encouraged to find a mentor or someone who can guide us, hopefully for many years, who has a deep knowledge of the path and can both, what do you call, theoretical and in their own life, their own experience. So we've been going through a section of the text in which they speak about what are the qualifications that we should look for. And we just finished a section where he said, when you're looking, when you're considering the qualifications of a person, you might consider your own qualifications also, or how you could develop the same qualifications. So if I'm looking for a teacher who has a good, steady meditation practice, then part of that exercise is to improve my own meditation practice. Because in time I will also be one of those teachers. And I should, whatever qualities I'm looking for, I should develop within myself as well. And then I encouraged you to finish the ACI courses and the Tantra courses. These are 36 courses, 18 foundational courses, which are the major content of the Geshe course in a Tibetan monastery, 25-year course. And then we have 18 courses for advanced Buddhism, advanced practice. And then we have, I don't know, 10 meditation courses, and then there are these Lamrim courses, which I didn't make into very formal courses, but there are video for the whole thing. So I think if you learn all of those, which should take you about 20 years, you would know all the information that a teacher should know and all the practices. And then as you develop your toolkit of spiritual practices, you also have to develop your own personality to become more of an example for other people and a good person. So to develop one without the other is considered, it'll probably be a problem sooner or later. You have to develop your kindness as fast as you develop your Tibetan grammar. Okay, all right. So we've reached a new section on the qualifications of a teacher. And we're at Sebum. Sebum dang chaptuki yo che tsangwa tsamdang choga lo togne tongshe pat samki lame teni tsangwa min. Se boom means it's not a bomb, okay? Boom means bumpa. What's bumpa? A vase, a ritual vase. Se means life, okay? Ayus in Sanskrit, like Ayurveda. And se boom means the ritual vase that a lama uses in a tantric ritual of long life. The Dalai Lama often gives this ritual. I think almost anywhere he goes, he he will give this ritual in conjunction with the teachings of Avalokiteshvara. So they will do a tebum, means a special Tibetan silver vase, right, with a peacock feather coming out of it. Chabtu means the certain kind of ritual to remove. It's a ritualistic removal of negative energy from a place or a person. Like, what do you call it? Almost like an exorcism, okay? Chu means they, in that ritual, they use water, and they might use water for the person that they are purifying. Yo Chang is misspelled. Probably a bad carving, but it should be Yo Che, B-Y-A-D. And Yo Che means, what do you call it? The costume that the Lama wears, special outfit, and the vase and the bowl and the bell and the dorje and the little drum and all the, what do you call it? Paraphernalia. Yeah, Yoje means paraphernalia that you would need to do those rituals. Tsangwatsam, to be complete in your stuff, is not to be a complete Lama. Okay, so I've seen these lamas, they have these big drums and they bang on these cymbals and they have special hats and it really impresses Americans. I don't know why, but they feel very excited when they see somebody like that. And he's making sort of a joke. He says, what do you call it? Complete in ritual gadgets is not the same as complete in qualifications of a lama, but we tend to look at the outer appearance of a teacher and feel that if they have this stuff, then they might be qualified. Right? Tsam, he says, only that, which means the implication there is it's not bad to have all that stuff. You probably should have all that stuff, but you should also have the inner qualifications. Choga lotog le tang shepa means someone who can recite the rituals by heart. Like that, okay? Then sometimes, we all have to learn them in the monastery. And they impress sponsors and lay people. And sometimes the monk is repeating the same paragraph over and over. And even if they're not, just simply to have memorized the ritual by heart is not qualification. It's not, doesn't mean the Lama is qualified. You can memorize a ritual and still not be a good example, right, of a good person. Okay. Tseni Tsangwa, Tsam means just that, meaning that's good, but it's not. It doesn't make the Lama complete. Okay. Samki, Lame Tseni Tsangwa Min. That doesn't what we mean when we say complete. The teacher is complete. Deyang Lame Tseni La. When we talk about the qualifications we should look for in a teacher, spiritual teacher, Duwa Ne Shepe Ken Lopki Tseni. There is a list of qualifications listed in the Vinaya. Okay, the Vinaya is what? These are the massive Buddhist teachings on vowed morality. If you think the, what's that Jewish thing called, Talmud? It's complicated. The Vinaya is similar. Many, many, many small rules and many small rituals and 253 vows for monks, 364 vows for nuns. Each one has many pieces and many exceptions and a history and like that, divisions and very complicated. So there are lists of what a lama should, the qualifications for a lama who teaches you Vinaya. Okay. The word for Vinaya in Tibetan is what? Dulwa, which is a verb that means to tame a wild horse. Okay. Rinpoche loved to point that out. Okay. So there are a certain set of qualifications for a person who ordains monks and nuns or does the important rituals of Vinaya. For example, Sojong, the bi-monthly, is that every semi-monthly, bi-weekly purification, confession of the monks, and then Yarne, the required summer retreat, Gaye, the kind of free period that you have after that. And these are all, there's 108 monastic rites, which you must know them to ordain a person, okay? For example, Senyu. By the way, we are ordaining a new fully ordained nun during the coming out ceremony for the retreatants. Dwara will be taking full ordination. She took a novice ordination during the retreat, as did two other nuns. But I'll let them tell you. Okay. Taichen Tumo. Then there's a Taichen Tumoe Gewe Shinyenki Tseni. Then there's a general all-purpose list of qualifications for a spiritual teacher who is teaching the Mahayana in general, he says, or the shared, both parts of Mahayana shared. Mahayana are the higher level teachings that started in India 2,500 years ago. And what does he mean when he says shared? The two branches shared. Say again? Hinayana or Theravada lower school is one, right? And then you have Mahayana. You have two branches of the greater way. What are they? And not in this presentation. Yeah, open and secret. Okay, sutra and tantra, meaning secret teachings, and then open teachings. And then these two together are the higher way. And this one is the lower way. So this one includes, for example, monks' vows, Vinaya, training of monks and nuns. And then this one would include higher philosophical training and higher secret practices, of which yoga is a very important one, for example. We're not allowed to do yoga in the monastery until we finish the Geshe course, 20 years. So real yoga is considered a very high practice. So there's a definition for, there are qualifications of a lama who's allowed to ordain people, for example, but there are also qualifications of a lama who teaches these two subjects. Okay, got it? That's called general qualifications of a Mahayana person, higher vehicle person. Then there's a separate set of qualifications for Sangaki Dorje Lopan. Dorje Lopan, what's Dorje? Diamond or Vajra. Lopan means master. So Vajracharya, which is someone who can grant you secret empowerments or secret initiations and then grant you those, the what you call corresponding teachings, which takes a long time. We have a course in our curriculum. It's 7 years long that you would study those subjects. Okay, Sangaki Dorje Lopan Kitsini. So there are a list of qualifications for a person who's allowed to give empowerments or allowed to impart the secret teachings. Senyi sosor yupale. Then there are separate lists for all those kinds of teachers. So what are we going to present here? We're supposed to be discussing the qualifications of a lama. Which of those three do you think he would present here? Huh? Yeah, the second one, like all-purpose Mahayana Lama, meaning open or secret, open and secret teaching. So he's going to cover all-purpose, higher-level Lama, okay? And that could be a lay person, all right? It doesn't, to grant monk's vows, etc., you should be a monk or a nun. But to grant the higher two levels of teachings, you can be a lay person, okay? It could be a family person. Which means you can be a lama, okay? So we're going to go through that list of qualifications. I personally believe that in the next 500 years or so, or maybe more, I think the next era of Buddhism in the world will be taught by mostly by lay people. I just think that's the way it's going to be. The institutions of, you know, huge monasteries with 10,000 people and who never relate to the common people, I think it has caused a lot of trouble, and it caused the fall of Tibet, I think. And I don't think that's a viable path for the modern world right now. I don't think it's ever going to happen that there are large monasteries in the middle of Phoenix of people living strict Vinaya, so they can't come out of their room to talk to you except at 4 o'clock. You know, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to happen. And I don't think it's necessary. I think in these times, there were periods, long periods in India, thousands of years, when the teachers were lay people, and the teachers were family people, business people, kings. The first tantrikas were all kings. And I think, I feel that that's how these ideas are going to spread in the modern world. I don't think they're going to spread through even necessarily a religious context. I think they could very well spread through business or relationships or international relationships or health or wellness or mental health or through those kinds of institutions. I think these ideas are going to spread. And I don't think they have to be Buddhist. I don't think they need the trappings of Buddhism. I don't think you have to have a certain photograph in your house or wear beads, or I don't think you need any of those things to be an important influence on the world nowadays. I think it's going to be you guys. That's what I'm trying to say. And what we've seen, like, I don't know, in the last 3 or 4 years of DCI work, I think last year 10,000 people came to programs in 30 cities of the world, all over the world. So we're going to Buenos Aires in April. We were supposed to have an interview today with a Buenos Aires newspaper who delayed it. And then, because they're kind of distracted right now because their currency's collapsing. And yesterday we did with Ukrainians. We did a long interview about the situation in Ukraine, and that's showing in the Ukraine today. And I think all over the world it's going to be working people and normal people who pass these ideas on. And yeah, I don't think they have to be in a religious context, just a practical, personal context of personal development. Okay. And that's what's happening with DCI. I don't think, maybe 10% of the participants are Buddhist. I don't know, 20% something. So, Dalam Dir Tekchen Tumawe Lame Tseni. So, we're going to get the definition or the qualifications of a teacher, general Mahayana all-purpose teacher. Okay. Tsor Muna means, mainly we're going to focus on that. When a person in the debate ground or in a teaching says mainly, they are covering themselves. Okay, it means they're going to throw in some other stuff also. It's very important in a debate that you say, "I mainly." Then you can say all kinds of exceptions and you don't get in trouble. Tsor Muna, if I were to state. Okay, Muna means if I were to state. Deyang Dodegenle. So Dodegen is called Sutra Alankara. Okay, Sutra Alankara. Sutra means, here it means the teachings of Lord Buddha, like Heart Sutra or Diamond Cutter Sutra. Then Gen means, Alankara means ornament or jewel. And it means the cream. You could have called it the cream of the sutras or something like that. I like the word Alankara in Sanskrit because it means... Alam means ready for a party. And kara means it makes you ready for a party. So it's a jewelry. It means like a necklace or something. So this book is called The Necklace of the Sutras. Who wrote it? So there's a Buddhist master 17 centuries ago named Aryasangha who wrote this book down. Meaning, we believe it was dictation taken from Maitreya. Who's Maitreya? is the coming Buddha. The next Buddha in this world is supposed to be Maitreya. Very close. Very close. So, in that text is the most famous list of what you should look for in a good teacher. Okay, and it has 10 parts. Okay, so here I'll read it to you in the poetry. Shenyan Dulwa. It should be Dulwa. That's a spelling error, a carving error. That's a carving error. Another fun thing about learning Tibetan is you have to. The books are not edited like English or, I don't know, Spanish, but in a typical Tibetan scripture, there'll be a mistake on every page. And unfortunately, they'll all be words. And some of them will make sense. And so you not only have to read Tibetan, you not only have to know Tibetan, you have to be a textual scholar to know what's wrong. And we have one here. Okay. So anyway, Shenyan Dulwa Shiwa Nyer Shiwa Yunden Lakpa Tsun Jai Lungi Chuk Teni Rab Tu Topa Ma Ken Den Tsewe Dag Nye Gyawa Pang La Ten. So it means, here's the qualifications of a teacher, according to the next Buddha on this planet. Okay, so it's okay, probably. Dulwa, I told you Dulwa, and now we have Dulwa, past tense, Dulwa. Tamed like a horse, broken by their teacher. Okay. And I was, you know. They just ride you, tell you, behave, okay? Called tulwa. It means restrained or tamed or, okay? The next one is shiwa. What's shiwa? Peace. Yeah, at peace. They have peace, okay? They are self-controlled and they are peaceful. They are at peace. Second quality. Third quality, near shiwa. High, they have reached high peace. Okay, these are, some of them are code words. We'll talk about them later. Yes, you are. Number three is we've reached high peace. Where did you see this list before? The first of the 20,000 pages of our courses, okay, because it's important. Okay, Yunden Lakpa. More qualified. They have more qualities than the student, okay? Like, you don't go to learn piano from a piano teacher who can't play as well as you, okay? Tsunche means they're willing to work hard, super hard. They have a tremendous capacity for hard work, okay? Lungki Chuk means rich in scriptural knowledge, okay? The books, the holy books. So like, I don't know, I grew up a Christian. I love the New Testament. It's awesome. It is surely one of the greatest pieces of literature in humankind's history. But it's 30 pages. And the parts spoken by Jesus, if you put them in red print, it's about 10 pages. And the canon, the Buddhist canon from India is 350,000 pages, okay? And they're beautiful. They're all precious. They're all wonderful, okay? And Lungi Chuk means you have a good grasp of those 350,000 pages. You have a pretty good grasp of the whole thing. Lungi Chuk. Deni Rab Tokpa means... they have Tokpa with an S, realized. Teni means suchness, tattva in Sanskrit, okay? They have realized suchness, which means emptiness, and we'll talk about it. Ma Ken Den, number 8, Ma Ken Den. We did Kepa today. Venerable Phil told us what it was. Kepa, master, yeah. Ma means professing. So they are a good, they have teaching skills, okay? So oftentimes you meet eccentric people who are very good at what they do, but they can't teach other people. They're just kind of loners or weird or like they're the best piano player in Arizona, but if you ask them to teach you, they would just get angry or something, or they wouldn't be able to do it. In Buddhism, the person has to know their stuff, and they have to be good at teaching, okay? They have to have the skills of a teacher. Public teaching, private teaching. Lungi Chuk. That's Makin Den. Tsewe Dakni means their motivation must be love for the disciple. Their motivation must be a feelings of wanting to help the student and guide them and help them to have a happy life. That must be their motivation. Okay, they shouldn't have motivations for money or fame. I don't think a lot of Americans have a big desire for money. The teachers I know, they're not like trying to get rich because you can't anyway. But I think there is an attraction to the attention that you can get as a teacher or the, what do you call, authority over other people's lives or, you know, some kind of be in a position to tell other people what to do or things like that. So this ninth one is very important. Their motivation should be a concern for the welfare and the success of the people they're teaching. I like to think of a piano teacher whose goal is to make you, is to see you play in Carnegie Hall when they never did. Something like that. Okay. Number 10, Kyawa Pang. I like this. Kyawa means tired. Okay. Fed up with the student. And Pang means they don't have that problem, you know. And specifically in scripture it says having to repeat over and over the same stuff to the students and then seeing them make the same mistakes over and over. So the teacher shouldn't get discouraged. It means they shouldn't get discouraged if the students don't behave or they have to repeat things over and over or the students don't listen to what they say or they don't retain what they say, okay? Or they mix up what they say. Or they corrupt what they say. A really good teacher is infinitely patient with the student. And there's no end to their patience. They will stay with you year after year and keep trying. Okay? They don't give up. Okay. Those are the 10. He clarifies, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4. He clarifies 5 of them. He Pabong Krimpache feels that 5 of them might need some clarification. There are other books that give long explanations of each of these qualities. But let's go through his clarifications. Okay, here they are. She Sungba Yunden Chu Tsangwate. You should look for a teacher who has how many of the 10? All 10. Okay, no, that's important. Sangwa means 3 or 4 of these qualities is not enough. He said that already. He said they can be very sweet, but not very knowledgeable. And there are monks like that in our monastery who appear not to be very knowledgeable, but they are very devoted. And then there's people who seem to be very knowledgeable who are mean. You know, so they have to have both. They should have both. Okay, everything. De Nangki, we had Nangdu today, we made a dictionary entry out of it. Sumki Nangne, that was the... What's Nang mean? Yeah, inner. By the way, those of you who care, the word for a Buddhist in Buddhism is not Buddhist, it's Nangba. Somebody on the inside. And Chiropa means somebody on the outside, and that means a non-Buddhist. Okay, that's the Buddhist word for Buddhist and not Buddhist. So De Nangi means among those 10, from among those 10. We had that today, but that was a couple hours ago. Tulwa what? Past tense, not Dulwa, which is Vinaya. This is past tense, Tulwa. Tame De, they have already been broken by their Lama, okay? Tulwa means Tsuchimgi Gyu Tulwa, okay? They have tulwa. Their mind stream, their heart has been, what do you call that when you when you have a wild horse and then you broken. They're broken. So I don't mean they hurt you or anything like that. They make you a calm riding horse, okay? Tulwa. Tulwa is the active form of tulwa, which is past tense, and the action is dulwa, which is vinaya, okay? So they tulwa your heart with what? Sutrim. Yeah, they teach you how to live an ethical life. So the first requirement of a good lama is that they are behaving themselves, okay? That's... They follow an ethical lifestyle. They don't kill. They don't steal. They don't fool around with other people's partners. They don't lie. They don't split people up. They don't speak harshly. They don't speak idle gossip. They're not happy when people get in trouble. They're not unhappy when people get things they want. And most importantly, they understand that the world is coming from them. And those are Buddhist ethics. What makes something a bad karma or a good karma in Buddhist ethics? Yeah, if it hurts you, it's immoral. Okay? Because that subsumes all harm to others. Because all harm to others hurts you. So in Buddhism, an action is unethical if it hurts you because it hurts someone else. You see what I mean? And then an action is desirable if it brings you joy and happiness and clearness, okay? Clarity, okay? That's the only standard of ethics in Buddhism. How does it affect your happiness? And by definition, the happiness of others, because that's what determines your happiness, okay? All right, so that lama, first of all, should be ethical. And, you know, in the modern world, it's how do they behave in their sexual behavior, how do they behave in their finances, how do they treat their students with kindness, or do they take advantage of their students, and like that. They should have these beautiful qualities, okay? Second, what was the second one? Not Shiva. Shiva means died. Shiva. Okay, say Shiva. Died. Shiva. At peace. Okay, they're connected, but... they are connected, but anyway. Be careful with your high tone and low tone sibilance. Okay. So peaceful means they meditate on a regular basis. Okay. In this list, peaceful means... Namyang Shiva means they are not hyper mentally. They have a good, healthy daily meditation practice, and it has made them grounded and clear. They have clear mind, usually very intelligent because of the meditation. They have the ability to do many things at once if they have to, and not get nervous or overwhelmed. And they have a very clear, strong, healthy mind, okay? Concentration. Number three. Nyawashiva. What do we call it? High peace. High peace refers to their knowledge of where the world comes from, what we call wisdom. Dr. Dzimba Nyawashiva. They have put to rest the tendency to think that things are coming from their own side. Literally, they have put to rest the tendency to think that things are in themselves. Okay? That a pen is inside a pen. Or that a laptop is inside a laptop. Or that being the best rock and roll in the world is inside Neil Young's music. You see? That it's coming out from the inside like that. They understand that's not the case. If you like Neil Young, it's because you have really good karma. Okay. Not because he's good from his own side. You see what I mean? Which is why some people don't like him, because they don't have good karma. Okay. Number four. I like number four. He says it very beautifully. The Tibetan, I wish you could read it. It's very, very, very elegant. And very, very, I don't know how to say. It's just masterful, extraordinary. There's nothing like it in Tibetan, out of thousands of books. Anyway, book is Septu Shingshen Chukna. If you have a box of incense, and in Tibet they don't burn a single stick of incense. You saw the Geshe thing? There'll be 20 guys with a whole, what do you call it, bundle of incense, and they'll walk through the temple like this, you know. You use up like 50 bundles of incense in a small ceremony, etc. So they have huge boxes full of incense or incense powder. And if you take a piece of pine or a piece of cedar or something, and you put it in that box for a couple of months, what'll happen? That wood will take on this scent, and you can't get it out. It just stays there. It imbues the wood. Okay, Shingshen Chuk means stick it in there. Chuk is a good word to know, you know. BCUG, stick it in there. De la Burti Goa, then the smell of the incense will Goa. Okay, so Goa means to, I don't know how to say it, spread or? It means the transmission from the incense to the, it will, it's kind of like permeate. I think permeate's the best word, yeah. So those of you studying Tibetan, now you have a bunch of goas, okay? Be careful. Say koa. Your throat should be buzzing a little. Koa. Koa means to understand or to hear. Okay? In colloquial. Koa. Say koa. Koa. Koa means essential supplies for a trip or for any task. Koa. Okay? Say go. Not ko. Go. Go means door. Okay? Now say ngo. Ngo. Like your French, right? I love it. You have a prenasal in French. It's so beautiful. French is the most beautiful language in the world. I wish I could learn it. But I have to work to do it. Ngo means head, your head. Okay? M-G-O. Ngo means head. This is an unusual spelling of a prenasal go, ngoa, and it means to infect something else, or you see what I mean? But in a good way. How would you say that? It spreads, or it permeates. I think permeates the best, yeah, goa. Okay? Gone is a catchy disease. Gone, okay? Something like that. Goatar, in that same way. Why is he talking about that here? You decide and I'll drink my hot chocolate. We're on the quality of the teacher should know more than the student or it's a waste of time. Yeah, it's all about osmosis. This one is about osmosis. You know, if you hang, I used to play tennis a couple miles from here for many years. We were brought up on tennis, and when I got to high school and I made the tennis team, the last one on the tennis team, we had a rule. During the competitive season, we were not allowed to play tennis with anyone who wasn't better than us. Okay, and then we would improve. You see what I mean? So the idea is, if you hang out with them, then whatever qualities they have will rub off on you. That's the incense metaphor. Okay, whatever qualities they have will rub off on you. If they have a good backhand and you play against them long enough, you'll get a good backhand. You see what I mean? And it's a very, what Word said is true, it's a very famous principle of Buddhist practice that the Lama is like a mold and the student necessarily becomes like the Lama, good or bad, okay? They will, and you see it, and it's the same with parents. You can tell the kids anything you want, but they won't listen. They will do exactly what you do. I went to hear the Dalai Lama in Tucson in, I don't know, 1992 or something. Something like that, 93, I don't remember. With my mom, I had my mom, I had special friends with me. And my brother came, and he said, I'll take questions, you know. This is 5,000 people. And my friend that I was with raised her hand, and she said, how do you teach small children this stuff? And he goes, you know how he always goes like he doesn't know the answer, you know. And then he says, they won't listen. They won't listen to what you say. They will copy whatever you do. So the best way to teach them is be a good example. And that's true of in Buddhism also, okay? It doesn't matter what, I'm telling you from 40 years of experience, okay? It doesn't matter what, you can sit in for 12 years and teach them Lamrim. They won't do it. They'll do exactly what you do. Because people learn by example. That's the way it goes. So if you're, whatever your teacher is, you become. Good example or bad example. People pick up the bad habits of the teacher instantaneously. Then, you know, if they hang around for a long time, they pick up some of the good habits. Okay. Go on, Gyurmis. Then at least the teacher should have more good qualities than the student, because whatever they are will rub off on the student. Okay. Rangla Gor Churwa Yimbe. Yun Ten Dang Kyun Nam means the Lama's good qualities and the Lama's problems, their faults, their deficiencies will also rub off on the student. Rangla Gor, Rangma means you. They will goa, they will, what do you call it? Infect or permeate. It more means the transmission. I don't know how to say it. It can mean to infect, like a disease, infectious disease, or it will spread to the student or something like that, okay? Be transmitted, okay? Like the scent of incense. Goar Girwa Yimbe, Rang Le Yunden Harpa Shik. You should look for a teacher who has qualities that you don't have, okay? Which kind of got into Bonnie's question the other day, which I've been thinking about. In my case, my personal case, you know, God or whatever sent me a teacher who was strong in the qualities that I'm not strong in. You know, like, I don't know, personal attention to people in need or something like that. Like, I'm very good at the theory, you know. But to actually, you know, go and spend time with a sick person and spend the day with a sick person or something like that, it's not my strength. But my Lama is very strong at that. So I think try to pick a Lama whose strengths are your weaknesses. You see what I mean? Okay. Rangla Yinden Lhakpa Shikdang. Okay. Then he clarifies number 7, which was I'll take some more hot chocolate while you decide. Yeah, Deni Topa. They have realized suchness. Now he gets into an interesting thing here, which has always come up with me whenever I've studied this list. There seems to be a duplication of something. What is it? Yeah, number 3, which is wisdom, right? At high peace, seems to be a duplication of number 7, which is that they have realized suchness. So lamas for the last 17 centuries have tried to distinguish between the two. And I've seen 2 good explanations in my lifetime. One you will find here, one I have found elsewhere, and I'll teach you both of them, and you choose. Okay, here we go. Deni Dopani, when we say realize suchness, Tug Jungi Sherab Ki Tawanye Pate, it refers to wisdom which is accumulated through the process of learning. It's almost an artificial process where they have gone to classes, they heard about the pen countless times, and then they understood it. Okay, two jungis shut up. There are three kinds of wisdom recognized in the Tibetan tradition, Buddhist tradition. Tujungi Sharam, Sam Chungi Sharam, Gom Chungi Sharam. Say Tujungi Sharam, Sam Chungi Sharam, Gom Chungi Sharam. Tujungi Sharam means the level of understanding you get from sitting in the class. Sam Chungi Sharam means the level of understanding you get by thinking about it as you drive home and as you walk around the next day. Thinking about it, considering what the teacher said in class the night before. Gom Chungi Sharam is the level of understanding you get from deep meditation on that same subject. So these are, in Buddhism, there are three levels of education. There are three levels of, what's the fancy word for education, Christine? Pedagogical levels, you know. And two are deeply experiential, you see. So you go to class, you get what we call listening wisdom or studying wisdom, and then you think about it in your quiet moments constantly, and that's called contemplative wisdom. And then you learn how to do deep meditation, and then the breakthroughs you make in deep meditation, which Buddhism believes that there are levels of understanding of subjects that you cannot learn unless you are in deep meditation. Okay, so Buddhism believes that there are levels of knowledge that cannot be gained by a person who doesn't meditate for half an hour to an hour a day. Okay, they will never learn certain things. Cannot. Okay, so those three levels. So he says, number seven, quality number seven, here he says, is the level of understanding, say, of emptiness that you get by sitting in class, okay, going to class. Din tang gyurwe tawa dang. But number seven refers to, of the four great schools of India, ancient India, the highest. And inside, what's the highest? Middle way, Madhyamika. And inside the middle way, there are two famous divisions, higher middle way and lower middle way. Lower middle way is called independent school, Sao Trantika, nothing to do with Tantrika, okay? It's a different word. And then Prasangika, which I call consequence school. By the way, if you care, the reason they're called consequence is because they're good at sarcasm. Okay? Like somebody says, I saw emptiness yesterday, and they say, well, what did it look like? And they say, it had sort of a green light, you know, and you say, well, then I guess you see emptiness every time you drive around the streets. You know, you say something, it's a prasangika or a tengir is a logical, it's one of the forms of logic. It's one of the standard phrases of formal logic in Tibet, Aristotelian logic. It's called a impossible retort or something like that. Oh, all fruits are red. Well, so bananas are red, right? So saying bananas are red, right, is a prasangika. And they use those very effectively, okay? So they're called that. They also have a different viewpoint of where the logic in logic comes from. And that's, if you want to get fancy, it's the lower middle way school believes that logic has logic in it. And so they're called independent school. They believe there's independent sense to logic. And the higher school says, no, even the logic in logic is coming from you. Okay? And that's a deep thing. That's another subject. Okay? Yeah. Anyway, he says here, quality number seven refers to a lama who has a learned understanding of emptiness of the highest school, of the highest half of the highest school of the Prasangika, okay? What does that school say about a pen? Okay? Because all you ever got fed by me was this one, the highest one. Okay? What do they say about a pen? Is the pen coming from the pen? No. Why not? Because a dog looks at the same object and salivates. They want to chew on it, okay? That proves that the pen is not coming from the pen. So it has to be coming from you. Can you take a handkerchief and close your eyes and turn it into a pen then? No. So that proves that there must be some thing in your mind that's forcing you to see it as a pen, whether you want to or not. And that's our called mental seeds, karmic seeds. Who planted them there? You did. How did you plant them there? You facilitated communication between two people last month. And it didn't have to do with pens. It's just that you... There were two people trying to talk to each other and they were confused and you what do you call it? Intervened and you helped them work it out. And therefore you have the right to see a pen today. Got it? That's the highest Buddhist viewpoint there is of emptiness, period. Okay? And there are five lower viewpoints. Okay? You ready? There are five lower viewpoints. We call them all together the six flavors of emptiness, okay? Five of which are not emptiness, okay? All right? So, now, what do you guess number three is? Well, he has a different explanation, okay? So that's why I said there are two explanations. He says, Kongi Sherab means the last one, meaning number three, Rangyupa Mancheki Tawa, the independent group and lower. Okay, the lower three schools, the lower three and a half schools. Their viewpoint of emptiness is what number three refers to. Okay, so if a person has a good intellectual understanding of the first five of the six flavors of emptiness that we traditionally teach, then they are qualified as a lama in the sense of the third qualification. If in addition to that they know the sixth worldview well, then they qualify as a lama in the seventh definition also. Got it? But if you read other commentaries, which I favor, the third one refers to an intellectual understanding and the seventh one refers to the direct experience. Okay? All right. Which is very rare in the world. Okay. Since it applies that way, mi de so, say Z-L-O-S, zlos, say de. The pronunciation isn't de, okay? Z-L-O-S is pronounced de. Don't ask me why, just look at the YouTube videos, okay? We have a grant to make 200 YouTube videos. I think we're going to shoot some more this week. I think there's about 15 up online total. De is the pronunciation of Z-L-O-S. The root is da, like as in dawa, the moon. The Chinese character for the moon is... Yeah. It's two triangles, basically, or quadrangles. It's two characters on top of each other. Am I right? Moon? No? I can't see it from here. Oh, okay. Cancel that. Anyway. Must be some other character. We'll talk later. So anyway, the word in Tibetan for moon is duplicate, meaning duplicate light, meaning the second light in the sky. So the verb dupa means to duplicate unnecessarily. It's considered zombekyun. Zombekyun means one of the classical faults in composition of books. You're not allowed to repeat something unnecessarily. Even in a lecture, you're not allowed to repeat information which the student should know already. It's considered bad teaching. It's considered wasting their time. Okay, so in composition, Buddhism is very strict that you shouldn't repeat an element unnecessarily. And then there's a huge debate about one part of the Heart Sutra. Lexo, lexo, okay? Siddha, siddha, lexo, lexo. The Buddha in the Heart Sutra doesn't say anything. It's a conversation between two of his students, although a sutra is defined as a speech of the Buddha. That's another debate. But at the end of the conversation, the Buddha says, lexo, lexo, means right, right. He gives his seal of approval, but he repeats himself. Then there's this huge debate in Buddhist, you know, exegesis, like, why did he repeat himself? Because that's a classical fault of composition. And of course he had a reason to. Then it's not a fault anymore. So he says here, don't think Maitreya was committing the compositional fault of unnecessary redundancy. Okay. Because when he says understand emptiness, he means it in two different ways. So it's two different qualities. I would say we should look for a teacher who understands the theory of emptiness and can explain it clearly, which is almost non-existent in the world. And then secondly, beyond that, they should have a personal experience of it in deep meditation, which is much infinitely more rare. Okay. And frankly, very honestly, and I'm not just criticizing, I don't think I've ever heard a really correct explanation of emptiness in a lecture given in the West. Okay, it's just they haven't had training or they haven't had, I don't know what it is, but a very simple and crucial concept gets very confusing. And I think that's one reason why Diamond Cutter Institute is so popular in Asia, because they're so frustrated by hearing dumb explanations of Kong Xing, right? And then we come and give a clear one, and everyone's like, ah, you know, I understand, and that makes sense, and I can use it in my life. So anyway, Shen La means, the rest of them are easy. It means I'm not going to explain them for you. I mean, should know more than, or what was some that he didn't explain? They should love you. They shouldn't get fed up when they have to teach it again and again, okay, etc. Okay, those are clear. Shen La, okay. We'll stop in a few minutes and take a break. Di Tam Jem Ma Tsang Naang. Now he gets into a very delicate subject, okay. What do you do if you can't find anybody who has all 10? I mean, that comes popped into your head probably already. You know, what do you do if you can't find a person who has all 10? Okay. Di Tam Jem Ma Tsang Naang. If you find a person that you think is pretty cool, but they don't have all 10, all right? Lab Sum Gyul Dulwa Dang. At least make sure they have a softened their heart, tenderized their heart through the practice of the three trainings, which again are morality, meditation, and an understanding of emptiness. Okay, at least they should have softened their hearts through those three trainings. And there's an and here. Okay, Ningsewa, they should have love for people. This one is more general love for people. Ningsewa and Deni Topa, they should have had some kind of personal experience of emptiness. So there, he shortened the list of 10 to 5. Three trainings, love, and an understanding of emptiness. Okay, so that's famous. That's very famous in Buddhism. If you can't find a tenner, look for a fiver. Okay, okay. That's like an expression, okay? If you can't find all 10, at least look for somebody who has the 5. Okay? Nga ngepa dengge means don't settle for less. They should have at least those 5. They must have at least those 5. Ngepa means must. Okay? Then I'll tell you a little story and then I'll let you have refreshments because anyone can listen to a story even if they're tired, right? Potoa. So there was a early Lama Geshe called Potoa. He lived 1,000 years ago. He was born in 1027, passed away in 1105. His monk's name was Rinchen Sel. And he used to say something about his teacher, okay? Ngeki Lopen, my teacher, Yerpe Shangtsun. Yerpe Shangtsun means the holy one from Yerpa, which is a state in Tibet or an area in Tibet. I worked really hard. I worked for hours to find his name, and I couldn't find anyone. I think they just call him Holy One from Yerpa. Okay, he probably has a name. I haven't found it, and I don't know anyone else has found it. But Kunla Mangtu Tupa Yang Me, he was not well educated in all the classical spiritual scriptures. Okay, he was not. Okay, in all of them, Mangtu Tupa Yang means. He's going to make a list of things he didn't have. In Tibetan, you say, he also wasn't this, he also wasn't that, he wasn't that. Okay. Yang me. Kyo wa sapa yang me. He also couldn't put up with his students. This sapa means patient, right? With having to repeat things and same old, what do you call it? Tensions between the students for 15, 20 years. Kyo wa sapa yang mepe. Lawo dendu chupare chepa. This is a very, very, very unusual expression, and he's going to. It's so rare in Tibetan that he's going to explain it in about two sentences. But I'll just give you the meaning. It means to express his gratitude for something. Okay, the quality of expressing his gratitude for something, meh. he was not, okay? He didn't have the grace of expressing his gratitude. Yang mepa. Mete. Ngama nga yepe. But he did have the five. The five we just talked about, okay? He did have those five. And therefore, Tungna su yupa, anyone who came into his presence, pen. Yeah, it helped them. Okay, it helped them a lot. Okay, so was he patient with his students? No. Did he have massive knowledge? No, of the scriptures. Did he show common etiquette like gratitude? No. Did he have those five, you know, the three trainings, love for his students and understanding of emptiness, yes. So anyone who came into his presence was helped. Okay. Nienten la ma kepa yeme yunshere chepa yang. Then they talk about an early Kadapa Lama whose name is also, I can't find it anywhere. I don't think anyone's ever found it. His name was Nienten. Nienten means the teacher from Nien. It's like saying Phoenix teacher. Yeah, we don't know his name. But in Tibet, it was much more common to call someone Phoenix teacher their whole life than it is in America. Okay. Nienten la ma kepa ye me. If you talk about the quality of being able to teach what you understand, ye me means nothing. Okay? He's like a genius who can't teach a single other person. Okay? Ye, nothing. Okay? Ye means like yeshe means entirely nothing. Ye me. Yeshe means entire wisdom, right? Ye mepa. Yun she re chepa yang. Even when he was teaching people how to do their water bowls, okay, kun ki tare miko nyamba, everyone would think to themselves in their own mind, I don't get it yet. He's teaching you how to put water in your water bowls offerings. And nobody would say anything, but all the students would be thinking, I hope I get it next time he teaches it, you know, okay? Gonyambale mishete. So they didn't understand what he's talking about. Mishe here means they couldn't get what he's trying to say. But ngapo yu, he had all, oh. Ngapa, ngaka, ngapo. He had all five. He had the five. Okay, he had these five. Yupe, therefore, Su Nyewa La Pen means he helped. Su means, what's Su mean in Tibetan? Do you know? Who? It's a question. It's an interrogative pronoun. Who? Su Yupa means Su Nyewa. What's Nyewa? Nyewa means close, okay? Nyewa means close. So, Pen. Anyone who got close to him as a disciple, they learned a lot. But not from what he taught. Okay? If you stuck around him, probably the osmosis factor was strong. But if you depended on what he said, you were out of luck. Okay? Lawal Dendu Chapa Shesumbani, the unusual Tibetan expression above, which is Lawal Dendu Chapa, means di jik dukam nyam, either to say this is fine, that's all right, or to say tujiche, to express your thanks to somebody. She kecha lek soterwa, to express one's gratitude. It's a very rare expression to express one's gratitude. Why did he use that expression? Why did Pabon Kurmache use an expression that no one in the audience understood? He was quoting a Kadampa book. He was quoting a book from 940 years before. Okay, so. Okay. I'm going to do one more paragraph just because I'm on a roll. Probably it's a chocolate, I guess. Du Tar Detuba Yangkun. Du Tar. My Lama's name was, my Tibetan Lama's name was Geshe Losan Tarchin. What's Tarchin mean? Gone to the final end. So Ta means end. Du, like Dunkor, Kalachakra. What's the Du mean? Time. So the days of, what do you call it? These days of degeneration in Buddhism are called Du Ta. Modern times. 2014 qualifies in Buddhist timekeeping as an age of degeneration. We are at the end of Buddhism in this world. Okay, Buddhism will die out in this world if it dies out on schedule within the next 5 centuries, meaning nobody will know anything about Buddhism. So Lord Buddha predicted that and told us to expect it. Okay. So Buddhism is much weaker now than it ever was in the world. Okay, it was there was a time when it was the knowledge followed by half the civilized world, China, India, Vietnam, Korea, Japan, Burma, Cambodia, Laos, Sri Lanka, Mongolia, which stretched to Austria, and down to Iran and Iraq. And Afghanistan used to be a Buddhist kingdom. And Indonesia was a Buddhist kingdom. So it has shrunk, and it's like nothing. It's like 1% of what it used to be. So we believe these are the days of... We are nearing the end of Buddhism in the world. Maybe. Detambu Yangkona, here in the days of dark, to find someone with the five, even that is kombo. You know the word kon from koinchok. Rare, very rare to find a person even with the five. So what do we do then? What are we supposed to do then? Then he gives three thans, THAN, okay, comparative. He gives three thans. What are his three thans? Okay, number one. Kinyun nila yunden so chewa shikdang. He or she should have more good qualities than... Bad qualities, okay. At least, 51% nice person. Okay. They should at least have more, kindness than meanness. Or, that's not saying much, but these are hard times. Dutta means these are hard times. These are bad times. You can't find qualified lamas in the world right now. So at least they should have more good qualities than bad. That's the first van. Okay, here comes two more. Se dile chimatso chewa. Their vision should extend beyond the current day. Their vision should extend beyond the current day. Okay. Even beyond death. Okay? Their vision should not be limited to, you know, the 21st century or a single lifetime. They should see things in a bigger, what do you call it, frame of reference. Their frame of reference should be 5 centuries, 10 centuries, okay, 50 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes. They shouldn't be so hung up on the next year or the next 100 years. Their vision should be much larger than people's lifetimes, okay? And third one, if they have a choice between taking care of their own needs or taking care of other needs, they take care of other people's needs. So at the expense of their own health or what do you call it? Finances and stuff like that. They like take care of others first. Okay. Shen Sor Chepa. Then Gupan. You should at least in these times find someone who fulfills the three thans. Okay, got it? The three thans. Nay yin. Nay, now you can, someone can tell me what nay is, and if they tell me, you can have some refreshments. Nay. Marma hatta in Sanskrit. Marma. Yeah, marma. Crucial point. Okay. Where did we learn marma hatta? Yeah, in the study of the inner body, there are special points like chakras where you can make a lot of progress if you learn them. And they're called, in Sanskrit, they're called marmahatta, which literally means to strike the point of mortality. Marma means mortal. And it's a military term. Like, where do you stab your opponent to get the biggest bang for your buck? And in the inner body, in yoga, in high yogic practices, it means where do you send your prana in your body to see emptiness? Like, where's the, what square inch of your body do you send your prana to in order to have higher spiritual experiences? Okay? It means crucial point. Why did he put it here? That's a crucial point. These are not the glory days of Buddhism. These are the days of Buddhism is almost dead. And at least go for somebody like that. Like put all your hopes there. And nothing less. Okay. At least they should have those three attitudes. Well, we're enough. More good qualities than bad. Okay. A bigger vision. A vision bigger than a single life or a single era of time, and a vision that extends beyond their personal needs, to embrace the needs of everyone else. Okay, got it. All right, then you get to embrace some refreshments. Okay, thank you. We'll start again in 15 minutes. Okay. We'll do one more piece, small piece. We have about 20 minutes, and then I'll answer some questions if you like. If you don't have any, we'll keep going. Deta mimbar. Are you okay, Adam? Deta mimbar. She hates the microphone. Deta mimbar means if you don't do that, meaning if you don't examine the Lama's qualifications, mi gewe shenyan. No, gewe shenyan is the short, gewe shenyan is the long version of geshe, and it means spiritual teacher, spiritual friend. And then he made a joke here. He said, "Mi geshe." Yeah, a non-spiritual friend. Okay, like an anti-spiritual friend. Okay? Mi geshe. Dangchena means if you bump into one, okay, you could end up like Somorchewa, Angulimala. Who's Angulimala? Well, anyway, I'll tell you who's Angulimala. Lokpe Shenyenki, he met a bad spiritual teacher. And Lam Lokpar Tene, he taught him a wrong path. And Diksap Boche Sak Go Chungwa, he was forced by that teacher to collect extraordinarily terrible deeds and terrible bad karma. Go Chungwa Tar Gyurwe, therefore, and he summarizes, this is a very important sentence, okay? Dambone's from the beginning. Lekpar Tak, you must investigate this person carefully. Lekpar is the same Lekso Lekso, right? Very well. You should investigate the person's life, what they teach, what their relationships are, how their students behave, who was their teachers, what are they teaching. You know, I got this teaching in India in 1974. And then I went back to finish. I met His Holiness, and I said, I want to stay with you. And he said, no, you go back and finish. Did you finish your degree? And I said, I got 6 months to go. He says, go home and finish it. Then you can do what you want, you know. So I'm like, okay. And I went back to Princeton, and I had to take one last semester. So I went to the registrar. I said, I want to sign up for these courses, but I want to see the biographies of the teachers. And they're like, what? And I said, you know, I want to know about the teachers who are teaching. Because I was influenced by this argument. You know, I should check them out before I took the course. Are they nice people? Are there any scandals about them? Are they honest? You know, do they smile when they, you know? I said, I want to know everything about these teachers. They said, we don't tell that to the students. And I'm like, okay. So I took the courses anyway. So, Lekpar Tak means you must check them out. Upa Toma, say Upa. Upa. Upa means worthy, deserving, okay? Tongna. Tongi no Tonglam. See, na. If you see that they are worthy. Okay, if you see that they are worthy to be your teacher, then lamarten. Then you can take them as a teacher. But that sentence is crucial to all Buddhist practice. Dangbone, from the beginning. Lekpar Tak, investigate their life, investigate them thoroughly. And then, te means and then. Wupar Tongna, if you see that they are qualified or worthy, then lamarten, then take them as a teacher, but not before. If you make the commitment too early, you might end up like Angulimala. So conventional wisdom says Angulimala was a young person in the time of Lord Buddha, so 2,500 years ago. Then he met a spiritual teacher who was a fake or who didn't know anything. And that teacher said, if you want to reach nirvana, you must kill 1,000 people, cut their fingers off, and string them on a garland around your neck. And when you get the 1,000th pair of fingers, you will become enlightened. You will reach nirvana. So that he taught him that. And he believed it. He did not, Lekpar Tak, he didn't investigate the Lama's teaching or their life. You know. And then he got up to 999. Unfortunately, the last one he chose was Lord Buddha, to murder. And then that's a long story. You're supposed to say, tell us a story. Okay, I happen to have looked it up in a sutra. okay, which is called the Angulimaliyam Nama Mahayana Sutra. It's a sutra about Angulimala. Anguli means finger, mala means rose, what do you call it, garland. His name was Finger Garland. Okay. I'll just read you the sutra. It's fun, okay? I'm sorry. This is the way I am. This is why this class is taking so long. Yang Lopan Ki Mepa. his master said to him, the false master said to him, don't you want to go to the higher realms? Don't you want to be a Brahmin in your next life? Yang lob me mepa. Lexo, lexo. Yes, I want to. Kembo deta gyo shimete. Then his lama said, okay, here's what you have to do. Mitong sede. Kill 1,000 people. And then rangi lopen la kupa mawa chepatang. And that will show your respect for me. Lopen ki de tong ne tumba dita rang rumba shiwa shit. What's that to kirte? Ono da shiwa chao nyamne. Then the person said, the student said, that's kind of strange to me. I'd rather die than do that. And then deke maserwa, separere somo. Don't say that. Give it a try. Cut off. You don't have to bring the whole bodies. Just cut off their fingers, okay? And long shake, and bring them here. Meet tong sula somo nam chewa che de ong. Then come back to me when you have 1,000. I guess it's first finger of the left hand, something. When you have 1,000 fingers strung on a garland, then come back to me. De tam se gyuro she serne. De chir soma tamwa she jawo. And that's how he got the name Angulimala. Okay. Yang soma tamwa te lexo she mene. So he said, okay, the student. Mi ni tong tu chiki matsangwa se do. This is not in the Tibetan versions. This is from the original Indian version, okay? Much older, 1,000 years older. And it says, he went in, out and killed one person short of 2,000 people, okay? They say, someone told me, maseki chokdang, ngan na shi tongni daki pu di da gyerpal da shi nan nyomong lu to nyamte. So then he was one short, and he saw his mother walking down the street. Ma omba tongne, daki ma torisa dora chao nyamte. If I kill her, my teacher also said that the people I kill will go to heaven, right? So he got his knife ready. You don't hear this in the Tibetan versions, you know? This is pretty weird, you know, terrible. Don't cut out that part and quote me. The Buddha, of course, knows all time and all places. Therefore, Nyen du yuv means Shravasti, which is a city in northern India where he taught the Diamond Cutter Sutra. And I went there on the millennium. I was teaching in Bodh Gaya and I was going to His Holiness's teaching. And the clock was going to hit 2000. Everybody thought the world might end. So I said, if the world's going to end, that night I want to be sitting in Shravasti. So I went there and I stayed in a monastery and I... On midnight, I was sitting where the Buddha taught that Diamond Cutter Sutra. And I thought, well, if the world ends, I'll be in the right place. So anyway, it's a beautiful place. It's, anyway, long story. So the Lord Buddha went and sat in the forest where he knew he would find him. Then Angulimala caught sight of Lord Buddha. Ona gejong Gautama tsendo. Oh, I'll kill this monk called Gautama. Okay. Nyamte realty togne gyopo gyopongso. So he ran to catch up with the Buddha was walking, and he ran to get up close to him and stab him in the back. Then he chamde de yeshitamje dan dembe dagni shekpatabur dembadang. Then the Buddha was just ambling along, and the other guy was racing at full speed, and he couldn't get close to him. This happens a lot in scripture. Okay, someone told me, "Mala dunkite te, niki padu chiksu cheti dar maso." Then he's also looking at his mother, but he's thinking about the Buddha. Shukshik Gejong Kyu Shukshik. He's calling to Lord Buddha, you know, take a break, take a break. Say some example, Shuksusu. It's a long poetry. Shukshik Gejong Kyu Shukshik. It's poetry. Rest, though, monk. Please take a rest. Setsang Sempo Shuksusu. O son of Setsang, which is Buddha's father's name. Take a break. Just relax. Dagni Soma Tewane. My name's Angulimala. Soma Shogam Daktsuchi. Could I just have one of your fingers? Shukshi. And then he goes like that. And that goes on for a terribly long time. And in the end, he couldn't catch up with Lord Buddha. He was running at full speed, and Lord Buddha is just kind of shuffling along. And then finally he got tired, and he asked Lord Buddha, you know, who are you? What are you teaching people? And then he taught him, and he became an arhat in this life. He reached nirvana in that life. Okay, so it's a very famous example of two things. What's the first thing? The dangers of listening to a teacher, of doing anything a teacher asks you to do without thinking about it. Any teacher, me too, any teacher, Dalai Lama, any teacher. Don't do anything they say without thinking about it. If it doesn't make sense, don't do it. And that's just a basic Buddhist principle. You know, in the end, you decide what's moral and you decide if something doesn't sound right. And that's a requirement in Buddhism. The disciple has to use their wisdom, viveka, right? This is right, this is wrong. And if a teacher asks you to do something you consider wrong, in Buddhism, you are required to respectfully decline. Okay, and that's fine. That's the right thing to do. Oftentimes they will test you to see if you're smart enough to say no. So knowing that we could be tested at any time, any of us, me too, by my teacher, we have to decline if we think something's improper. Okay, that's a Buddhist principle. And that's the basis of all tange. What's tange? Tange means how do you know when your teacher's testing you, and how do you know when they're not testing you? And Jetsun Kapa made that distinction a whole science. He wrote a major textbook about it when he was, I think, 50. He wrote a major textbook about how do you know when to listen and how do you know when to decline. And that's his. It's often considered his most important work. And I'm teaching it in China. It's very interesting. Anyway, we're filming, I think. We have to get permission, right, Jingmei? To use the film. So we did 5 days worth, and I'll share the film with you. I'll share the video with you, okay? If they say okay. We should ask God, okay? With the other questions we have? Or Jingmei? Okay. Let's do one more and forget the questions and do the questions tomorrow. Okay, is that all right? Because we're at a very nice place. Oh yeah, you tell me. It's an example of, what? Yeah, any mistake you make can be purified. Anything, okay? Buddhism has a mechanism by which any previous mistake you ever made in your life can be purified. And there's a system for that. And you can do it. Anything, any terrible thing. You killed somebody, you stole money from your mother, you did anything. You can clean anything. So if you don't know it, and you still have stuff on your conscience, you should, before that karma ripens, you should talk to one of the people here who's been around for a while and ask them to go through it with you and clean out that karma. Okay? Yes. Yeah, I don't know what we call that. What's the word in English? A wrong idea. What do you call it? Fallacy. It's a fallacy. I'll tell you why. In the highest school of Buddhism, the whole idea that you have to experience something bad that turns around and you learn something out of it and then you get enlightened or something like that is considered unnecessary. Because of the diamond deal thing, you could just as well collected the karma to meet the Buddha on the first day and become an arhat next week. You see what I mean? The idea, is it true that in Buddhism we are encouraged to turn mistakes into advantage, to our advantage? Yes. Are we encouraged to turn bad situations into... Are we encouraged to look at the good side of things and say, if I hadn't met my ex-wife, I wouldn't know yoga now or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, but wouldn't it have been better to meet a nice person that you're still with and you're doing yoga together? You see what I mean? It's an important practice to know how to get the best out of a bad situation. But the goal of Buddhism is that there is no such bad situation to be transformed in the first place. Okay? All right. Okay, last thing. Lobma Yang. You tell me. Yeah, and now the student. I like it. What's he going to say? Yeah, here's a list for the student, okay? Okay, I like it. I gave you the 10 qualities of a teacher, and the 5, and the 3 if you're desperate. Okay? But let's give you 5 qualities of a good student. And I'll start them tonight. Let's talk about them tomorrow, okay? Number 1. Rang chokla chakpa dang shen chokla dangwe chok shen me ching suor nepa. They should have an open mind and they should not be mired in their prejudices or their preconceptions. They should have an open mind. Like they should be open to what the teacher is saying, even if it's new for them, even if it's totally different from what they learned before. Okay, and to tell you the truth, if you are not completely happy and successful now, you should be open to something radically different. Okay, that's why I like going to Ukraine or Spain. Or I just signed a contract for the Greek diamond cutter about 10 minutes ago. Okay, I like going to those desperate countries. Why? They're open for something new. They got problems. The people on the Ukrainian newspaper sounded very frightened. It was very sad. These are normal friends of ours that we used to hang out with, and they are very frightened. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, and who could get killed tomorrow. And they're very frightened. So you just keep an... What do you say? They're open to new ideas, okay? The worse things get, the more open you are. They have the first quality of a good disciple. Okay, they're willing to take a shot at a totally new system. Okay, that's number 1. Number 2, Legnye Chepe Shiram. They are not the kind of person who will just agree to whatever the teacher says. Okay, in Buddhism, we seek disciples who are stubborn, bullheaded, question all the time, challenge you. I remember, what's her name in Toronto? Shade? Yeah. I taught in Toronto. And there's this black lady in Toronto, and she attacked me bitterly during the class. And I was like, whoa. But they were good questions. They were really good questions. And she became one of the closest students of Lama Marut. She moved to serve him. And she's a great teacher now in Vancouver. And we like that kind of student. Questioning. Challenging. Not satisfied. They have... Here it says they have the wisdom to discern. Discerning wisdom. They can say, that doesn't make sense. Or, you know, you taught this yesterday, but now you're teaching this. What? I don't understand. Okay? They are... They don't take things on faith. They question you. Okay. But when you give a logical answer, they follow it. See what I mean? I should add that. Okay. They have the capacity to judge that an answer is logical. Okay, number three. Dunyer Chenpo Chen. They have great hopes in their life. Okay, great hopes. Oftentimes, the students I like the best have a vision. Almost all of them have some kind of vision where they think they will serve the whole world. They think that at some point they will serve the whole world and that they could somehow be involved in a belief system that would help the whole world. Okay, most of my students are like that, and I like that. It's very satisfying for me to be around people like that. Okay, they have a big, what do you call it? Vision of how they would like to help people. Okay, number what? Four. They have the capacity to show great respect and affection for a lama once they commit and choose one, you know. So once they decide that this person is qualified and once they commit to a lama, they have a tremendous capacity for devotion, okay. And I've seen that also. The ones who are, there's two kinds of devotion. One is, I don't know, anyway, let's not get into it. Sincere devotion to a teacher, then that's a great quality. That's a beautiful quality. I have it, and I love it. And it's one of my favorite things in my life, is to be devoted to my teacher, you know. Okay, last one. Yi lai par te de nyamba. They listen well. Okay, they pay attention. Yi tepa means they pay attention. And nyamba, they listen well. You know, sometimes you explain something in class and then, I don't know, an hour later you want to talk about it and they're like, I don't remember. Or they were texting when you were teaching that, or, you know, they have a capacity to absorb stuff. The Chinese gentleman who's coming to teach in April, I was teaching them Tsongkhapa. He's like a sponge. It's like so cool. He remembers everything. Everything I say, he can say back to me the next day. And it's just like, I'm so like, it's so cool to teach somebody like that. You know, he's just super attentive and absorbs everything right away and listens well. Okay, good listener. And it's hard because it's a lot of new ideas. It's in a foreign language. You know, and you got to get into this meditative state where you're just like, I don't know, channeling or something? You know, like you're just like, okay, feed me. Like those baby birds, I like them. First of all, they have to flap. And then they go, wah, wah, you know. And you got to be like that. Like you're totally open and your mouth's open. And, you know, and the lama's jamming stuff in there. And you got to be like them. They're insatiable. Okay, I go, and then they act like they didn't get anything, you know. And all of our lamas used to say, be satisfied with every part of your life. Like, never want more things than come to you naturally, except in Dharma. And with Dharma, you should be greedy, son of a bitch. You know, I want more. I want more. We only got 4 hours today, Geshe-la. You know, we want more, okay? You should be unfillable, something like that. Insatiable, okay? Never be satisfied with the Dharma, okay? Keep complaining that there's not enough classes. Okay. Okay, that's the traditional list for students. And I think you could build up a whole educational system based on those five. I think you could really train. We're thinking to start a training school for DCI teachers, and I think that's not a bad place to start, you know, of being the five things that people should learn, or five attitudes about learning that people should have, okay? And then look over those frequently, you know. It's one thing to, you often hear people say, the teacher let me down, or I thought they were better than that, or, you know, I had big hopes for them. But But you also have to watch your own qualifications. Did I listen? Was I open-minded, you know? Did I show affection and respect and like that? Okay? So check those things too. Check the teacher out and check yourself out. Okay. Todd, you ready? Pukhi joshi meto tam Harira bingshi ninde kempadi Sanghe shindu mikte huwagi Dokunam da shingla chepasho Hidam guru radamada Nayatayami Dikewokan Sanam Yeshe Sotsokshin Sanam Yeshe Lechume Tambakuni Topasho. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for working hard. I know you're tired, and it's cool. It's really cool.